The Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel present Kurt Wallace's The Flow. Real interviews with real people revealing real truths. Heard exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel and available online at veritasradionetwork.com. Radio, the way it should be.
Presented by Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel, I'm Kurt Wallace, and this is The Flow. Our guest today is Tatiana Moroz, singer, songwriter, liberty activist, and Bitcoin educator. She sits down with me to discuss her life growing up in a family from Poland, which she visited that country every summer. She explains the concept of attachment and relationships and how that's shaped the way people interact. She then shares how her grandmother has influenced her life. She breaks down the importance of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin from the standpoint of educating the general public. Moroz also discusses how she was inspired as a musician to explore and utilize her talents to popularize liberty. We talk about her spirituality, and she makes a case for why she supports the release of her friend, Ross Ulbricht, also known as Dread Pirate Roberts, founder of Silk Road, and how he was never given a fair trial. This is an interview you won't hear anywhere else. And Tatiana, thanks for spending time with us today on The Flow.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So let's go ahead and start from your heritage, because I think it's really interesting. You and I have similar backgrounds. I'm Russian, you're Polish in terms of our heritage. We're both, aren't you first American born here in the U.S. in your family?
Well, my father actually grew up in Brooklyn, and his side is Ukrainian and Sicilian, but they've been in the States for a long time.
Okay.
A few generations back. But my mom is actually from Warsaw, so that had a really big influence on me growing up. I would go to Poland every single summer, and sometimes I think, obviously, you know, I'm a freedom person. I wonder if I didn't get a little bit of that from her because she had grown up in communist Poland.
Mm.
And I even remember one time I went up to her. I was always interested in saving the world and how can we organize everybody. And I went up to her, I was about 7 years old, and I said, Mom, you know, what if everybody just puts everything in a pile and, you know, we all just take what we need and then that'll work out? And she says, no, Sonia, that's socialism and it doesn't work. And, of course, she knew, coming from communist Poland, that was actually true. So I always think that's sort of a funny story about my attempts, my foray into politics so young.
And you went to Poland growing up too. Didn't you travel there on a regular basis?
Oh yeah, I went there every summer as a child until about I was 13, and when going to Poland wasn't cool anymore. But also, my grandmother on my mom's side had a lot of you know, a hand in my upbringing. Her and my grandfather would really spend a lot of time with my brother and I, so I was fortunate to learn Polish pretty fluently. And I always I always like getting a chance to practice it.
Now, I actually went to Warsaw at one point, and it was, you know, I had mixed feelings about it because coming from a Russian family, some, you know, Russia, the history there with the Eastern European countries and the forcing those countries to conform to the Russian Empire. Poland, to me, well, Warsaw specifically, had a very Eastern Bloc feel to it at the time. And this is
when did you go?
This is in the late 90s. And this
Yeah.
And there were, it was like a mixture of Western and Eastern. And a lot of like factories were completely shut down. It seemed like there was a lot of poverty. It was bittersweet for me to go there. And but you saw it change over a period of time.
Yeah, well, you know, I was actually just speaking with somebody in Warsaw yesterday, and we were talking about how Warsaw had changed so dramatically. When I was younger, you know, everybody had 80s clothes when it was the 90s. And it was definitely a developing place. I mean, the culture itself was always very rich, but in terms of money, not as much. And recently when I've been to Warsaw, I mean, they've got hipsters there. Everybody looks totally normal, just very, you know, American and more modern, I guess. So things have definitely changed. Warsaw actually, of course, was bombed during World War II and destroyed and leveled. So unfortunately, a lot of those beautiful buildings that they had there have also been destroyed. But they did do some reconstruction in the old town. I don't know if you went over there, and it's really, really beautiful, and it gives you a little bit of a sense of what things were like before the country was devastated by the war and then, you know, subsequent Russian influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was part of our my experience over there, because I have a background in Russian language, so we had a business meeting with people that were basically divesting all of the assets. Also, one of the things that I thought was interesting about going there, of course, we have the TSA now, but LL Airlines, the first time I walked through the airport in Warsaw, there were just machine guns everywhere. That was kind of interesting to me. They say that that's the safest airline in the world.
I think the last time I was in Poland, nobody even checked me at the border. I thought that was kind of strange. Maybe because they routed me through Russia. But I just got out of the airport, and then I just walked out, and I was like, well, that was strange. It's such a difference from the United States, where, you know, they've got all the nudie machines and everything. And in general, in Europe, somehow they managed to make it work with the metal detectors.
Now, as far as your experience with your mom growing up, she tried to teach you the difference between socialism and what freedom is all about. Is this how you started to think about your perspective on the importance of freedom? And did your dad have any influence over that as well?
Well, you know, I don't really know if my mom was lecturing to me in any way, but when you're a kid, you sort of absorb different things. Recently, she was, you know, in 2012, a big supporter of Ron Paul, and now she's, you know, telling me about Adam Kokesh videos, and I'm like, yeah, Mom, I know. But, you know, when it comes to also the musical influence on me, I think that my interest in freedom and those kinds of things really happened from the arts. And my mom was definitely instrumental in that. My father, even though he was a singer, a very, very good singer, and he was offered Johnny Carson, he turned it down. That's his famous story. But
really?
Anyway,
wow.
Yeah, he's really great. I mean, he continues to be great, but now he works, you know, he has his own business. Mm-hmm. But he would listen to Tom Jones and stuff, and that wasn't really what I wanted to listen to.
Right.
But my mom, she would play a lot of Cat Stevens, Carly Simon and Garfunkel. And I ended up getting really into the music of the 60s and 70s. And I remember this very distinct moment in the back seat of the car listening to Peace Train and thinking, holy moly, look what this guy is doing. He's basically, you know, manipulating emotionally with a message in a positive way. And I at that moment realized just how powerful it was, the power of music and linking a message in order to make a point. And after that, I started reading a lot of different dystopian novels in high school, and constantly I was thinking, well, how could we organize society in a better way? And I was very jealous of the music of the 60s and 70s, because, wow, they had a cause, and now we've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was I ended up getting, you know, I got into my different movies and documentaries and stuff, and of course, first I ended up on the left, but once I figured out about the Federal Reserve, and I learned a little bit more about Austrian economics, I jumped ship from Denis Kucinich, and I went straight Ron Paul. And I think a lot of times people don't really realize libertarian ideals because they look at it through the wrong economic filter. I think that the left is, you know, a road paved with good intentions, right, on the way to hell. I don't think that people on the left are particularly heartless. I don't think that people on the right are particularly heartless. But I think that what we're really lacking is an understanding of how the monetary system works and how different things that we view in our society are bad are propagated by the initiative to make them better. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of a large learning experience for me, and it's ongoing.
And when you got into politics, were you a little bit older then? Is that going to college?
I was in my mid-20s, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. or early 20s, something like that. And then, yeah, so first I was on Team Dennis Kucinich, and then I got onto the Ron Paul squad. And I remember hearing Amy Allen talking about, everybody was asking her to write more Liberty songs. And she had just gotten through that beating. She had been beaten up.
Right.
So she was basically California, like, everybody leave me alone. And I thought, well, I could write some freedom songs. That should be easy. And I started out writing different things. I had some requests. I had a request for a cover of Masters of War by Bob Dylan, which most people know me for that song. And then I also created a song called Make a YouTube Video, which was sort of encouraging people in a nice way to engage with one another through education and not just randomly talking at each other. Because I think that the internet is such an incredible tool. Now, you know, if you and I are debating about who won this game or whatever, we could just look it up in 2 seconds, whereas before it wasn't even possible. So I think that when people are trying to talk about ideas, we have such an amazing tool at our disposal and we should be using it. And I don't necessarily agree with everybody, but we can debate about it in an adult and, you know, normal fashion, you know, civilized fashion, and be able to support our arguments with actual evidence instead of just randomly making things up because that's how we feel.